It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Welcome back to The Lines Between Us, our year-long exploration of inequality in the Baltimore region. We begin today with a few simple questions. In the last year, have you worried about whether the food in your home would run out before you had money to buy more? Have you cut the size of a meal or skipped meals because there wasn't enough money for food? Have you lost weight because you didn't have enough money for food? These questions measure what's called food insecurity. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, nearly one of six Americans is food insecure. And even though Maryland is one of the wealthiest states, about one out of eight Marylanders is food insecure. Among poor seniors, those over age 60, only seven states have a higher proportion who are food insecure. Maryland ranks number eight. We wanted to hear from some seniors in the Baltimore area who may have experienced food insecurity. So yesterday, producer Matt Purdy rode along with Meals on Wheels of Central Maryland, which delivers two meals a day to immobile, mostly low-income seniors. Since December, Henrietta and Frank Smith have volunteered their Thursday mornings delivering food to a dozen seniors for Meals on Wheels of Central Maryland. Their route zigs and zags through Northeast Baltimore. Their first stop is with 63-year-old Daniel Watterson. Here's Henrietta Smith.
I know that Mr. Watterson, he can't get around very well. He uses a wheelchair and a walker. So sometimes when we knock on the door, if he's upstairs, it'll take him some time to get downstairs to us. So,
Mr. Watterson lives with his niece, and he would travel to a center in East Baltimore where he'd get his meals, but he began having trouble getting there.
Because I used to have to travel so far where we're living at just to eat, and I can't get around like I used to. That's when I had meals when we start come bring me the food.
But Mr. Watterson has a niece who's able to help him as well. Not everyone does. Many seniors live by themselves, including 71-year-old Evelyn Samuel, who is disabled and lives in public housing in the Penn Lucy neighborhood.
I have been hungry, and I did without. If I didn't have nobody to go out to the store, or I look back in my cabinet and try to substitute with something, just plain do without till the next day. And that's not so good.
How did it affect the rest of your life, your quality of life?
It affects it very badly. Dialysis, you need to eat protein. You really need protein. I'm diabetic. I need other foods. Diabetic diets is a little more expensive than dialysis diet. They both are, because you got to eat certain foods. And the quality of my life is very much affected when I don't get the right foods.
Today on The Lines Between Us on WIPR, we're talking about the lines between hunger and health among seniors. I'm Sheila Cast. Here in the studio with me is Kathy Demarato, Executive Director of Maryland Hunger Solutions. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
And on the line from Lexington, Kentucky, is Professor James Ziliak. He teaches microeconomics and is the director of the Center for Poverty Research at the University of Kentucky. He's co-written several reports on senior food insecurity. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on the line today.
Now, Professor Ziliak, I want to start out with what food insecurity looks like. Is Ms. Samuel, whom we just heard from, is she typical of the food insecure senior?
That's right. Lives alone, disabled. Other characteristics that are common are seniors who have high school diploma or less for their education. They may at some point in time have a grandchild living with them during their senior years. If she's African American, she's at much greater risk of food insecurity relative to white Americans. So, you know, I would say very much she is the picture of senior hunger in the United States.
Is mobility the big issue? Poverty? When? What are the big issues?
Well, certainly poverty is a big issue, and poverty is very puts you at much greater risk of food insecurity than seniors or any American who's not living in poverty. But that's not the whole story. And in fact, the majority of seniors who are at risk of food insecurity in the United States are actually above the poverty line. So it's not strictly a poverty problem, and because it's some of these other factors we just discussed. It could be disability, so a lack of mobility. It could be the fact that they're living alone, so there's a lack of a social network and social capital. So there are a variety of factors that go into the determination of whether or not somebody's food secure or not.
Kathy DiMorato, why is Maryland's food insecurity rate for poor seniors higher than it is in so many other states?
That's a really interesting question, and I think part of the reason is, even though we're the wealthiest state in the nation, as you mentioned, and we have a high median household income, the cost of living is very high here. And so there was a report, a business report in 2010, and I think Maryland ranked third in highest cost of living. And so when you have seniors on fixed incomes and often have higher health care costs, and costs for utilities and prescriptions and rent, then and higher food costs, they have trouble buying the food they need. And we often hear from seniors that they are making difficult choices between paying for their medication or food or paying their utility bill or food.
On 88.1 WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Kathy DiMorato, Director of Maryland Hunger Solutions, and with Professor James Ziliak, Director of the Center for Poverty Research at the University of Kentucky. We're talking about senior food insecurity. Professor Ziliak, what are the consequences of food insecurity for seniors?
Well, if a senior is food insecure, chief among the consequences is the fact that it ages them. So, for example, if you look at activities of daily living amongst adults, so this is the process of being able to clothe yourself or bathe yourself or cook for yourself, a food insecure 65-year-old looks like a healthy 79-year-old. So in other words, food insecurity, in effect, ages a senior by about 14 years. And so it has real consequences on the ability of seniors to engage in normal, usual daily activities. If they're food insecure, they're much more likely to suffer from diabetes. They're much more likely to suffer from deficiencies in nutrient intakes and energy intakes. They're much more likely to self-assess themselves as in poor or fair health relative to good or very good. So, you know, we do see the material consequences through worse health amongst those who are food insecure. And one thing that our research found is that the health consequences were much more severe for those 60 and older than it was for the 40 to 50 or 50 to 60-year-olds. So even though the chances of being food insecure is higher for these younger adults, the health consequences are worse for seniors.
But Kathy, the research shows that children are the most likely to be food insecure, correct?
Certainly children are food insecure, and that's an important issue. And there's a lot being done, particularly in Maryland, about food insecurity relating to children. I mean, we have the Governor's Partnership to End Childhood Hunger, and we're really focusing on ensuring more children are connected to federal nutrition programs like school meals, school breakfast, school lunch. There's the after school meal program, the summer food service program, certainly WIC and SNAP.
Women, Infants, and Children. Program. But I guess my question is, why should we be focusing on food insecurity among older Marylanders if they are not the age category most at risk of being food insecure?
Well, I think they are at risk of being food insecure. And what we're finding is many seniors are not accessing some federal nutrition programs like SNAP. So in Maryland, less than a third of people we estimate are eligible for the food supplement program, which is known nationally as SNAP, or the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, are participating in Maryland.
Which used to be food stamps.
Exactly. We're doing a much better job with children on that program. We're reaching probably approximately 90% of the eligible children. So this is a real critical safety net program, and we can be doing a lot more in Maryland to reach seniors.
Why are such a small percentage of seniors who are eligible, why are they less likely to be on food stamps?
I think really it's a combination of things. I think what we hear is seniors are not aware of the program, or they don't think that they would be eligible for the program. So they think if they have Social Security or a pension or any type of income that they're not eligible. We also know it's a burden for them, often because of mobility issues. They think they have to go to the DSS office and fill out an application, and that's no longer true in Maryland. They can apply online or through the mail, and Maryland has adopted a waiver where they can do a phone interview. So they don't even have to go into the office for an interview. So that really makes it more convenient for seniors. Some of the other reasons are seniors don't realize it's an entitlement program. So they're concerned if they take the benefit, they may be taking it from someone else, perhaps a child. But it's an entitlement program. So if they're eligible, they will get the benefit. And so will all the others who are eligible. Sometimes they think, well, it's not worth my effort. I'm only going to get the minimum benefit. And that amount in Maryland is $16. But in reality, in Maryland, the average benefit for seniors is $113 a month, which certainly helps with the food budget. Other reasons are stigma and pride. Often we hear from seniors, you know, they don't want to take public benefits. And so we often encourage them that they've contributed their whole lives, they've paid taxes, that these programs are there as a safety net. And it's important, particularly for seniors because of chronic illnesses, to get adequate nutrition.
Professor Zeliak, the baby boomer generation, of course, is getting older. How are they going to affect the numbers that we have been seeing about senior food insecurity?
I think they're going to push the numbers up. I mean, one of the things that my co-author on all my research is Professor Craig Gunderson at University of Illinois. And one of the first studies we did was for the Meals on Wheels Association of America back in 2008, called The Causes, Consequences, and Future of Senior Hunger in America. And at the time, we did some forecasting of, you know, what senior hunger would look like around 2025, which is when the youngest baby boomer would be reaching around age 60. And the prediction at the time was that the rates of food insecurity were going to be similar to what they are today, but the numbers affected were going to be nearly double because there are so many more seniors over age 60 because we're an aging population. But that forecast was done before the Great Recession, and, you know, if we were to go back and redo that, our models would be different, and they would actually paint potentially a more bleak picture, because after the onset of the Great Recession, food insecurity rates among seniors, and in fact amongst all Americans, increased 30%, and they haven't come back down to their pre-recession levels. So that suggests as though food insecurity is not a problem that's going to go away, and in fact is likely to become a much more prevalent problem amongst our aging baby boomer population.
Kathy, what have you seen in Maryland since the recession?
Certainly, we're seeing many more people seeking assistance, and people who had not needed assistance before due to unemployment and underemployment. And actually, even though the recession is technically over, we're still seeing in every jurisdiction in Maryland increases in participation in food stamps. So we know people are still in need. You know, over the past 5 years, the participation in food stamps has increased 117% in Maryland, and it's still increasing. So people are still looking for help. And I think Maryland is doing a good job trying to reach more seniors. We partner with the Department of Human Resources and the Department of Aging to do outreach to seniors. There's a number of projects going on involving DHR and AARP Maryland to connect more seniors to these programs. So I think, you know, looking at the numbers that you mentioned earlier with regard to the Maryland being the eighth highest in food insecurity, those numbers reflect from 2001 to 2009. And I think in the last 3 years, the state has done more to reach seniors through public-private partnerships and through other state options. There's an option where DHR works and does a data match with the Social Security Administration, and they can send applications to people who may be eligible for food stamps. So there's a lot going on, and I would expect that the food insecurity rate among seniors will look better the next report we see when compared to other states.
Thank you both for talking to us. Thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Professor James Zeliak is director of the Center for Poverty Research at the University of Kentucky. Kathy DeMorato is executive director of Maryland Hunger Solutions. We've got more information and more of this interview on our website, wypr.org. Click on Maryland Morning. We want to hear from you. Are you a senior who's worried about whether the food in your home would run out before you had money to buy more? Leave us a message on our voicemail, 410-881-3162. Tell us your name, where you live, and a phone number where we can reach you. Again, our number is 410-881-3162. We may use your message on the air. That's it today for The Lines Between Us on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, Tom Hall takes us to the Walters Art Museum for a new exhibit on the paintings of Baltimore native Richard Caton Woodville. But first, let me ask you, how valuable to you is a series like The Lines Between Us or one of Tom Hall's visits to a museum? Here's Nathan with a thought about how you can support what you hear.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Lines Between Us, WYPR's year-long exploration of inequality in the Baltimore region. This is Maryland Morning senior producer Lawrence Lanahan. Now, join the conversation at facebook.com/thelinesbetweenus. Or tell us your story at linesbetweenus.org. The Lines Between Us is made possible by grants from Associated Black Charities, Cohen Opportunity Fund, Ethics and Excellence in Journalism Foundation, Baltimore Community Foundation, and Open Society Institute Baltimore, as well as support from members of the WYPR Board of Directors. I hope you'll join us again on Friday at 9 a.m. on 88.1 FM in the Baltimore region, and everywhere else, streaming live at WYPR.org. Have a great day.